Text number 6 to 7. They worshipped the Lord by offering fragrant flowers, water, pandas, argias, sandalwood pulp, and argura pulp, incense, lamps, fused rice, unbroken grains, fruits, roots, and sprouts. While doing so, they offered prayers, indicating the glorious activities of the Lord, and shouted, Jai, Jai. And they danced, played instruments, sang, sounded conch shells, and beat kettle drums. In this way, they were worshipping the Lord. Jambavan, king of the bears, also joined in the ceremony. Sounding his bugle in all directions, he declared a great festival for Lord Vamadeva's victory. When the demoniac followers of Bali Maharaj, of Maharaj Bali, saw that their master, who had been determined in performing sacrifice, had lost all his possessions to Vamadeva, who had taken them away on the plea of begging 3 paces of land, they were very angry and spoke as follows. This Vaman is certainly not a Brahmin, but the best of cheaters. Lord Vishnu, assuming the form of a Brahmin, he has covered his own form, and thus he is working for the interests of the demigods. O Lord, Bali Maharaj, because of his position in taking the yajna, has given up the power to punish. Taking advantage of this, our eternal enemy Vishnu, dressed in the form of a brahmachari beggar, has taken away all his possessions. O Lord, Bali Maharaj is always fixed in truthfulness, and this is especially at the present, since he has been initiated into performing a sacrifice. He is always kind and merciful toward the Brahmins, and he cannot at any time speak lies. Therefore, it is our duty to kill this Vamanadeva, Lord Vishnu. It is our religious principle and the way to serve our master. After making this decision, the demoniac followers of Maharaj Bali took up their various weapons with a view to killing Vamanadeva. O King, the demons, aggravated by their usual anger, took their lances and tridents in hand, and against the will of Bali Maharaj, they pushed forward to kill Lord Vamanadeva. O King, when the associates of Lord Vishnu saw the soldiers of the demons coming forward in violence, they smiled. Taking up their weapons, they forbade the demons to continue their attempt. Were all associates of Lord Vishnu, they were as powerful as 10,000 elephants, and they began killing the soldiers of the demons. When Bali Maharaj saw that his own soldiers were being killed by the associates of Lord Vishnu, he remembered the curse of Shukracharya and forbade his soldiers to continue fighting. O Vitprachiti, O Rahu, O Nemi, please hear my words. Don't fight. Stop immediately, for the present time is not in our favor. O Daityas, by human efforts no one can supersede the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who can bring happiness and distress to all living beings. The supreme time factor, which represents the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was previously in our favor and not in the favor of the demigods. But now that same time factor is against us. No one can surpass the time representation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by material power, by the council of ministers, by intelligence, by diplomacy, by fortresses, by mystic mantras, by drugs, by herbs, or any other use. Translation. Previously, being empowered by providence, you defeated a great number of followers of Lord Vishnu. But today, those same followers, having defeated us, are roaring in jubilation like lions. Purport by His Divine Grace, E.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Bhagavad Gita mentions 5 causes of defeat or victory. Of these 5, Deva, providence, is the most powerful. Nachat devat param balam. Bali Maharaj knew the secret of how he had formerly been victorious because providence was in his favor. Now, since that same providence was not in his favor, there was no possibility of his victory. Thus, he very intelligently forbade his associates to fight. Okay, so verse 9, 21:3. So I was looking at one thing. Yeah. Okay, so the purport there we'll come to in a second. The significant part of this particular purport is the word providence, by the way. Providence, so you can think about that for a second. And also the significant part of this purport is the sloka, na chatte vat parambaram. These, in Prabhupada mentions that yesterday I was speaking to Premananda, asking him, that's why I was asking you, what is this, na chatte vat parambaram? I was thinking, oh, maybe that's a verse connected to the Bhagavad Gita somewhere, because Prabhupada says, Bhagavad Gita mentions five causes of action, defeat or victory. Of these five, providence is the most powerful. And then he quotes, na chatte vat parambaram. So I'll tell you about that if you don't know already. So you can see, Bali Maharaj, he was cheating Lord Vamadev. No, sorry, Vamadev, he was cheating Bali Maharaj, wasn't he? Because, but I was listening to one tape, and Srila Prabhupada, he was commenting on this particular lila, and he said that, yes, Vamadev was cheating, but Bali Maharaj knew he was the Supreme Lord. He knew he was being cheated. So, because he was a devotee of Krishna by the mercy of his grandfather, he was accepting that Krishna was cheating him, and he was going along with the desire of Krishna. So, so that is one point being cheated. Also, the verse previously to this, verse number 6-7, is quite interesting. So, you know, the verse, they worship the Lord by offering fragrant flowers, water, paddy, and so on and so forth. And while doing so, they offered prayers indicating the glorious activity of the Lord. And they shouted, Jaya, Jaya. They also danced, played instruments, sang, sounded conch shells, and beat kettle drums. In this way, they worshipped the Lord. It's quite significant because that's how the members of the Krishna Conscious Movement, we are always chanting and dancing in ecstasy in very exuberant ways. We worship the Lord. And this, because if you analyze different sorts of worship by different followers of different religious organizations, you might go to a church somewhere. They're mostly in the mood of, you know, they do some deep prayers, they bow down and so on and so forth. Some of the churches in the deep south of America, you find quite a lot of, you know, exuberant chanting going on as well, actually. But the ecstatic dancing and chanting that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has introduced to the Krishna Consciousness Movement is very significant. It is not ordinary exuberance at all. It is a symptom of the Ladini Shakti, the internal energy of Krishna. That is the symptom, the ecstasy. Radha Krishna, what's that verse? Radha Krishna, Rikradir, Haldini Shakti, Adhatta Kapman of a Pivavi. That the loving affairs of Radha Krishna, this is a display of the transcendental ecstasies of love of God. This is the conjugal love between Radha and Krishna is a display of the Ladini Shakti. So Mahaprabhu is distributing such mellows to one and all. It is described by Swarup Damodar to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, C.C. Majjalila 14, text number 165. There, Swarup Damodar is giving very good, if you want to read that text, is the Vrindavan pastimes. And there he is giving very good description of the ecstasies of Srimati Radharani and all the gopis and their moods as well. He describes Radharani's love as a highly elevated state of ecstasy. So this is the result of Radharani coming in touch with Krishna. Her love for him is a highly elevated state of ecstasy. So this transcendental ecstasy, the Krishna consciousness movement is actually touching on such ecstasies. The enthusiasm in kirtan and the enthusiasm of the pure chanter. Why is that? What energy is that? That is this Ladini Shakti energy. It is the internal potency of Krishna. And the devotees who are sincerely endeavoring in Krishna consciousness, they're always in that ecstasy, actually. That verse is there, Satitam Kirtiyantamam Yantastar Vritavrata. They're always chanting and endeavoring with great determination. And they're always bowing down, they're always worshipping. So somebody in this verse here is described, I thought we would kind of pick up on that. How this chanting and dancing is going on very nicely in the Krishna conscious movement. Isn't it? It's true. So another aspect of this verse is that these verses being described here is this cheating. Mamadevi came to cheat. Krishna is famous for such things, actually. Actually, one other aspect I was going to talk about in terms of Srimati Radharani's love, which we described before, as a highly elevated state of ecstasy. If we study these things in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the technical aspect of Radharani's love is that there are eight transcendental symptoms. They are called sattvikas, eight transcendental symptoms, sattvikas, and 33 vyabhachari bhavas. So these, when Radharani feels such these ecstasies, these external symptoms appear in a transcendental form. And all kinds of emotions are there in these ecstasies. And they give much pleasure to Krishna. And so this Krishna conscious movement with the ecstatic chanting and dancing and the deep devotion of the advanced souls, they're relishing such topics and ecstasies as well. And it's described in this particular verse in the Majjalila that Krishna, when he sees Radharani in these mixed ecstasies, he feels much more pleasure. Because sometimes Radharani is very angry, sometimes she's crying, sometimes she feels jealous, sometimes she feels... All these different emotions crop up in her transcendental form. And it's described that this gives Krishna so much pleasure, even more so than the pleasure of actual union with Krishna. So these things are described and they're worth meditating on. There are different leelas which depict these different ecstasies, and like the picking of flowers. There's the leela of picking flowers, there's the leela of Krishna crossing over Radhavali trying to cross over the river. So these are all described in that particular verse by Sarup Dhammadhar Goswami to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's very much relishing all these topics. And he describes that these mixed ecstasies of Radhavali, they are like, he gives the example, yogurt. If you mix yogurt, candy, ghee, honey, black pepper, camphor and cardamom together, this is a very nice taste, very sweet, but also having other flavors within as well. So the source of, in the material world, there's so many emotions, isn't there? So many emotions are there. What is the source of all these emotions? The Buddhists and the Jnanis, they're trying to deny these emotions. No, we don't want these emotions. They're giving us too much pain. But actually, the origin is in Krishna and in Radhavari, and the soul is able to experience these transcendental emotions. So when we are liberated from this material body, it's not that we put a stop to emotions. So it's a very interesting topic, because I was thinking, oh, the ecstasy of everyone dancing together. What is that? This is the Krishna Conscious Movement. If you come into kirtan nicely and you associate with devotees and chanting and dancing, you will come out of your body and you'll be freed from your bodily designations, and you will experience the soul's emotions like that. So this is the Krishna Conscious Movement. So this cheating business, it is also described, as we know, and Krishna, many times, he is cheating, so-called cheating, because when you think about it, Krishna himself, is he subjected to morals and immorals? You know, Krishna, is he subjected to morals and immorals? You know, oh, Krishna did this, why is he? Friends, some people criticize Krishna, oh, he's taking all the wives. He's going, this is immoral, why is he doing such thing, isn't it? But Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta is describing these very points to one British, he was a governor. Back in 1923 or 24, he was describing, because this man said, oh, our Christian faith, we uphold morals, but your Krishna, he seems very immoral, because he is, you know, he is dancing with other people's wives. So he was criticizing like that. And Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta, he gave a whole explanation as to why that was not the case, because Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. Everything is manifested from Krishna, and all these so-called wives, actually they all belong to Krishna. So there's no question of immorality. It is just for Leela pastimes. And also, during the one sacrifice, this was in Dwarka or Mathura, when it was described that who should be the leader of the assembly. And people were saying, oh yeah, Krishna should be the leader of the assembly. And then some people began to criticize, no, Krishna cannot be the leader of the assembly, because he has acted immorally. He has gone with other wives. And at that time, Bhishma Dev, he spoke up, because he was the devotee who was celibate, right? He was the devotee that had made a vow of celibacy, because his father wanted to, remember, his father wanted to marry some other Mataji, and the Mataji said no, because I want my future son to become king, and your son will become king, or his children will become king. So Bhima understood that point, and he said, okay, I will never marry, and therefore your future children, they will become king. So he was great celibate. He's renowned for it. But then in this assembly, he glorified Krishna. Because he said, actually, Krishna, he's even greater than me, because he was dancing. This Prabhupada was saying like this. He was dancing with so many gopis. And Prabhupada said, yet there was no pregnancy. He said like that. So Bhishma was glorifying Krishna. He said, actually, I am a renowned celibate. I don't think I could have done such a thing if I was in that situation. So this shows you Krishna's great strength. So he was, there's many other times where Krishna is cheating in supposedly being immoral and not, and another example is when Bhimla, he was fighting Duryodhana, you know the story where he was, practically, he could not be defeated, but Bhishma was advised by Krishna, if you want to kill Duryodhana, you have to hit him in a certain part of his body. Because, now this is against the law for Kshatriyas, because when you fight Kshatriyas, you have to fight in a very honorable way. But he fought dishonorably under the advice of Krishna. Because the story goes, as you may know, Duryodhana, his mother wanted to give him a great benediction. So she wants to protect his body. She was a mystic because she was the one that was had blindfold, right? She kept herself blind because her husband was blind. So she took the vow, okay, my husband's blind, I will also stay blind. So by that potency, by that sacrifice, she gained great potency, tejas, power. So she told Duryodhana, come before me naked tomorrow morning, because then I will cast my eyes upon you, and by my mystic power, your body will be protected. It will be like iron, and no one will be able to defeat you. So on the way to see his mother, Krishna saw Duryodhana. He said, well, what are you doing? Why are you walking around like this? You know, well, I'm going to see my mother. I'm going to see my mother. He said, you cannot go to your mother completely naked. You must cover yourself. At least cover the lower portion of your body. So Krishna, he kind of made this arrangement, and therefore when the mother saw the son, his body was protected apart from the lower portions. And in the future, Bhishma was able to defeat Duryodhana, because Krishna said, if you're going to kill him, you have to strike him right there in that part of the body. And that's what happened. This is another example where Krishna, so many times Krishna cheating in that way. We're going to get kind of reversed, so I'll bypass some of these things. I want to get to the point of the point of this verse, which is quite important. So the point of this verse, the word providence. Now, if you look up, the word providence is quite interesting. If you look it up in the dictionary, it is the word is described as the protective care of God or nature, as a spiritual power. It's also described as a timely preparation for future eventualities. So, ultimately, this verse is indicating the work of, as is described in that verse that we're reading today, these five factors. And of the five factors that's described in the Bhagavad Gita, the Supersoul. The Supersoul is the ultimate sanctioner of everything. So this protective care of God and this timely preparation for future eventualities. I was thinking about this, and one can draw from this that yes, by providence and by timely preparation, Krishna is going to help the devotees. Because Krishna gives special protection to his devotees. Because providence and future eventualities, if you look at that in terms of material, in a material way, you'll find out this is to do with our karma, our astrological condition, isn't it? By providence. If you look at it materially, that will be the indication. Because by providence, if you have done some good piety, some good things will come to you. If you have done some bad things will come to you. So, but for a devotee, Krishna gives special protection. And Krishna says, for those who have fixed their mind, the Bhagavad Gita 12:17, for those that fix their mind on me, I am the swift deliverer from birth and death. So Krishna, he wants to protect us from future eventualities. The future eventualities may be that we might be taking another birth. So, when devotees do bhajan to Krishna and take up spiritual life, their karma changes. Krishna intervenes with their karma. So this particular verse that we're mentioning today, in the purport, the verse Nachayat Devam Param Balam, that verse, that's the end of a verse which Prabhupada quotes. And it is in the Brahma Vaivata Purana. The verse goes, Devadhinam Jagat Jaivam Sam Yogascha Vyogascha Janma Kama Sabhojbhyam Nachat Devam Parambalam. Now, what does that mean? This is the meaning of that verse. All activities of beings are under the control of providence. Birth, activities, results of actions, meetings and separations. No force superior to providence. There's no force superior to providence. Yet, Lord Krishna is greater than providence, since he controls it. Saintly persons worship Krishna. Through his pastimes, Sri Krishna can diminish or expand such providence. Therefore, devotees are not bound by providence. They are imperishable and transcendental. Therefore, there's a verse, you say, that's interesting, how Krishna can intervene in our lives. Sometimes devotees, they're very much concerned about their karma and about their astrological charts. This is happening, that's why I'm in my good period, my bad period, this, that, and the other. Some people are obsessed by it. Because why? They're interested to become, you know, getting into a comfortable position. I want to have comfort now. I've had too much suffering. Isn't it? This is how we feel. We don't wake up in the morning and want suffering. We want comfort. We want to be in a good position. But actually the devotee, he doesn't care for these things. He's working in a different energy. Because Krishna says, I will protect you. He has confidence that Krishna will protect him from all. What's that verse? You know, Savadara Pratyajamama Kamashana. You give up all varieties of religion, surrender to me, I will protect you from your sinful reactions. So if we have faith in this word, and then Mahatmanas to Mam Prata, Daivam Prakriti Ashrita, Krishna, the devotee is working in a different energy. And therefore, when Krishna intervenes in our life, what we couldn't ordinarily do, we can do. And what we would ordinarily do, we won't do. So there's no question of the devotees being manipulated by the external energy in that way. Krishna intervenes. And the more you surrender to Krishna, the more he will intervene in our lives. So, therefore, that verse is there. You know, if you become a good devotee, a lame man can walk. A blind man can see, and a dumb man, he can quote eloquent poetry. So Krishna makes arrangements to change our provenance. The time factors that were being spoken about here, as far as I can understand, the five factors that Prabhupada is speaking about is the place of action, the performer, the senses, the endeavor, and ultimately the supersoul. Savasya chaham thadi sanivisto mata smiti paranam cha. The supersoul is in the heart. He's the one that's directing the time factors. He's the one that's directing our lives. He's giving us intelligence. But the devotee in ignorance, the karmis who are in ignorance, they are not at all conscious of these things. They think themselves the controller. They do not consider the place of action. Actually, of course, you know, by providence, if you're working in the material realms, then there is a good time and a good place for everything, isn't it? A businessman, he knows, oh, this is a good time to do business, this is not a good time to do business, this is a good place, this is not a good place. So they do take these things into consideration. But a devotee, he understands that ultimately all these, the performer, the senses, the endeavor, all these things are ultimately directed by Krishna. Krishna is seated in the heart. He's directing the wanderings of all living entities. Ishvara sarvabhutanam riddhya shiyadin tistite. Brahmayan sarvabhutanam yantarudyani mayaya. We're in this body. This body is a machine. It is pushing us in so many different ways. Our subtle body as well. This is all conditioning. And if you analyze the way your mind thinks and the way your body works, sometimes if you're not conscious of Krishna, what are you conscious of? Well, at least you're conscious of your body and your mind, or your intelligence. That is also one of the... So you're conscious of Krishna, because that's one of Krishna's energies. But the under the guise of illusion, we're thinking this is me, this is my body, this is my mind, this is my intelligence, this is... But actually, the fact is, the soul is surrounded by such energies, and that energy is trying to influence us. But Krishna, he wants to intervene in that energy. He wants to intervene, he wants to show us the real internal energies. Therefore, Mahaprabhu has come to this world and he is taking the jiva out of this environment. He has descended in the form of the holy name. Nama Chintamani Krishnas. This is the transcendental energy of Krishna. All power is there in the holy name. And that holy name reveals to us the spiritual realm. Goloka Paramadana Harinam Sankirtan Rati Dedana Kinotai. The holy name is descended into this material world. Those who chant the holy name very nicely and constantly hear and chant about Krishna, they themselves become aware of all these truths. So how does Krishna change the activities of the jiva? How does Krishna do that? And in the Bhagavatam, it is said, if I especially favor, this is the 10th canto, 88, chapter 8, if I especially favor someone, I gradually deprive him of his wealth, and the relatives and friends of such a person, they give up such a poverty-stricken man, and they abandon him. In this way, the jiva, he suffers one distress after another. This is, Prabhupada used to quote this particular verse. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Maharaj, he comments on this verse in his Sarasati Darshani. It's very interesting. Because Krishna has to intervene in our lives, and sometimes in order to wake us up to our condition, our so-called comfortable position in this material world. He inflicts various difficulties on the living entity. So I would say, this providence, it changes. Krishna intervenes in one's life. He comes into one's life. He inflicts punishment sometimes. The devotee also experiences these happinesses and these distresses in life. But when a devotee experiences happiness and distress, it is not... Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Maharaj comments on this. He says, the devotees of Krishna suffer happiness and distress not as fruits of karma, but as incidental effects of their loving reciprocation with the Lord. So, this is worth meditating on. The devotees who experience happiness and distress, their lives are being directed by Krishna. The karmis, their life is simply that verse, Dharma Shai Bhivaga Shah Natta Rikal Kutalpite, Natta Shah Dhamakanta Shah Kamalivis Smitaha. That all occupations are meant for liberation. Now, this is the fact of the purpose of the purpose of the creation, is that any occupation you do, it is meant for liberation. It is meant to be done in a religious way, to get you out of the material world. They should never be utilized for sense gratification. Any material gain you get out of your occupation, it should never be used for sense gratification. So the karmis, they act in a very... they work like fruitive workers, and they utilize their fruits of their work to enjoy the material world. But the devotee is different. Therefore, this is it. Why? Because the devotees, their distress and happiness is not the same. When you act fruitively and you want to enjoy the fruits of your work, you will suffer great happiness and great distress. If you have that mood, you will suffer great happiness and great distress. But if you have the mood of engaging in Krishna service and any fruitive work, any results of your fruitive act, if you utilize it in Krishna service, offering prasadam, maintaining your family nicely, so on and so forth, then your happiness and stress will not be as part of your karma. It will be as a direct intervention of Krishna. You see? Therefore, the person who is suffering extreme happiness and stress because he is self-centered. A devotee's happiness is for the pleasure of Krishna, even though it may appear to give distress to devotees as well. That's another aspect of this, that devotees become so transcendental. His only concern is to give pleasure to Krishna. It might give him distress. The example is in the last shloka of the Shikshashtakam. Radharani's mood is there. Whatever you do to me, whether you give me happiness or distress, I don't mind as long as you are happy. So, I'm carrying on here. So the devotees, they are relieved by Krishna. We should have confidence in this. Are we all confident of this fact? That we are, those that chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, those who engage in devotion, they should have full confidence that Krishna is intervening in their lives and that their happiness and distress they might be experiencing is actually directly Krishna intervening in their lives. There are the different types of karmic reactions, those that are not yet manifested, those that are just about to manifest, those in seed form, and those that are fully manifested. These are all when this happens to a devotee, he understands that Krishna's trying to work the devotee so he can understand the nature of the material world. This bhajan, this bhakti bhajan, this is the way that karmic reactions are destroyed. And devotional service is a process of worshipping Krishna, and it consists of fixing the mind on Krishna by becoming disinterested in all material designations, both in this life and the next. So this is the point, that devotional service is a process of worshipping Krishna. When one worships Krishna, he becomes purified, he becomes disinterested in any material designation. This is the symptom of your worship. By bhajan. Bhajan means the mind has to be absorbed in Krishna and his life, his pastimes, his leela, the spiritual master's order, the spiritual master's mission. If we become interested in these things, this is called bhajan. Then we become disinterested. Rupa Goswami, Naham Vipra Nachanala Patina Vaishana Shudra. I'm not Vaishya, I'm not Shudra, I'm not Kshatriya, I'm not Brahmin, I'm not any of these things. I'm not Grihastha, I'm not Brahmacharya, I am the servant of Krishna. So by doing these bhajan nicely, chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra, inconceivable mercy of the Lord comes about, and one becomes fixed in his mind on Krishna. So when a person realizes that, he becomes very fortunate. Let me just, last point to make before we finish here. Yeah, the happiness and distress of the devotees, if the karmis try to engage in their fruitive activities, it leaves a trace in them. You know, if they get some happiness, it leaves a trace in their heart and they want more happiness. But when the devotees, the happiness and distress generated by the Lord, by the Lord's will, leaves no trace in the devotee's heart. He remains fixed in trying to again achieve transcendental ecstasies of Krishna. So this is described here, how the devotee, his happiness and distress is given by Krishna. There's no hankering like the materialist. When they get some success in life, they want more and more and more success. And it drives them on in a very fruitive way. But when Krishna takes over and he gives happiness to the devotee, that happiness is brought about by transcendental energies. And the distress that Krishna gives is a bit like, it's mentioned how sometimes a mother might, you know, like hit the child, because that's not politically acceptable anymore. But sometimes a mother might slap the child. But then sometimes an enemy might come to hit you. There's no comparison between the two. The mother hitting and the enemy hitting is two different things. So Krishna himself, when he intervenes in our lives and gives us a slap, what is that slap? It is kind of a humbling experience. That one realizes he's become proud, or one realizes he's trying to become an enjoyer. And therefore Krishna takes away facilities of the devotee. And when the devotee's facilities are taken away, he then is only left with Krishna to take shelter of if he's successful in his spiritual life. But when Krishna takes away facilities, we have to make sure we then take shelter of Krishna and not take shelter of the material energy. Because it's all very easy when one is suffering. When the karmi suffers, What does he do? He takes intoxication. He increases his sex life. He tries to increase his wealth because he's suffering. He wants to adjust his suffering. But when the devotee is suffering, that suffering is inflicted upon Krishna. Krishna inflicts that suffering upon the devotee to make him more introspective, to take more shelter of Krishna, and to tolerate all the difficulties in life by depending on him. That is why Krishna is. So when the devotees are undergoing suffering, we should never think, oh, is there karma? Or when they're experiencing some happiness and success, we should never think, oh, that is their karma as well. No, this is Krishna directly intervening, giving and taking away things. So that's our life. And Krishna has to extract us from this material energy. We've been here for so many lives. And therefore, it is a very difficult job for Krishna to extract us from this. But bit by bit, he is working in our hearts. And he is inflicting certain things on us. It depends who we are and how much we can take. Sometimes Krishna will give very, very severe shock if he thinks we can accept it. And sometimes we're more subtle. It might take more time for us to surrender to him. Someone like our acharyas, Srila Prabhupada himself, you know, his situation and his family life it was such that he actually left. He had to leave his family and he went to Vrindavan alone. And when he walked into Vrindavan, he had nothing. Someone gave him a blanket and gave him a room to stay in. You see, it's very severe. Supposing us grihasthas, we were left with nothing. We just had to walk alone. Our families, we left our families, we left our children. Very severe to be able to do like that. So Krishna, if he thinks, for great souls, he can inflict great realizations upon them. And then we can see the real true nature of this material world. Because half the time, we probably don't realize what this material world is and what it's, you know, the naked truth of this material world. We still think it's a place to enjoy. So we'll still be trying to make arrangements for that. But Krishna will not allow us to, actually. Once you've chanted Hare Krishna, once you've engaged in devotional life, that is Krishna's mercy on you. He will eventually take you out of this material world. But you will not go willingly, probably not. Krishna has to reveal to you, no, this is not the place. My wife, my family, my bank balance, my house, my relatives, my friends, all this kind of stuff that we are attached to. This is, you know, it's all going to be, it's all superficial. It is not a reality. Krishna says, Suridasavadehanam, I am your friend. I am your well-wisher. It is me that you have the relationship with. So like that. So this providence, Krishna is intervening in our lives. We are not under the control of the stars, astrological stars, as devotees. Any happiness that we get, or any distress we get, is directly coming from Krishna. And he is extracting us from this material world. That's how we should take it. That is the fact. Okay, thank you very much. Sorry about the rambling. Hare Krishna.